Welcome to Salem First Assembly Podcast. May this week's message by Pastor Brian D. Corkin be a blessing to your life in helping you to grow in your understanding of God's Word, strengthen your faith, and equip you to become all that God has created you to be.
Well, I am so glad you're here. Look at your neighbor and say, I am so glad you're here. Tell them they look marvelous. You look marvelous. Those that are watching by internet, I'm going to go by faith and say, you look marvelous. We're going to be taking a journey for the next 2 weeks talking about, I think, something that every year I spend a lot of time in is reflecting on the old, preparing for the new. And when we look at the old, we have a lot to say, don't we? Living life with the right focus. Let's go back in time. Let's go to 2020, New Year's night, when you were celebrating the year to come. Can you go back there? How was it? Were you excited? Were you ready for a new year? And then someone came in your house on New Year's Eve and they said, you know what? I don't know, but there's something about this year that's going to be different. And they said this, you know what? I think all the schools are going to close. I think all gyms, parks, and beaches, and walking trails are going to shut down. I think that even in some places, personal fishing is going to be against the law. Let's leave that one alone. All restaurants and bars in every neighborhood, in every town, state, and country will be shut down. And you know what? Churches will even be shut down too. People will be afraid to go to church. Can you imagine that? Most every public gathering in the world will be canceled. All conferences and concerts, all sporting events of every kind, all canceled. But even though they cancel it with millions of dollars in ticket sales and contracts at stake, and when airplanes fly, they're flying at 90% empty. Can you believe that? It's going to happen in 2020. But they don't stop there. They just go on. And they say the government is actually going to give out free money. Landlords are not going to collect rent, and banks may not collect their mortgage and give you grace. Look at your neighbor and say, grace. Homeless will be allowed to stay in hotels for free. Everyone will be walking around with respirators like they're all doctors and nurses. And some with these scarves up to their nose, they look like bank robbers, and everybody's going to be okay. And if you're not wearing a mask, somebody's going to be saying something about you. You don't really care. You tell your friends, it gets worse. And your friend says, it can't get worse than that. Oh, yeah, it can. Because the rule's going to be, you can't hug, high five, shake hands, or even have your friends over the house. Listen, the rule is, if you don't sleep with them, you got to stand 6 feet from them. That's what the year's coming. And then the friend says, do you want to celebrate the new year? In much as the new year was a challenge, and it was a challenge to me in many aspects, almost every area of my life, I had a challenge. But also, when I look at the year, I see good things. Now, the top one is I got a new grandbaby. Huh? That's great. But you know what? We were also forced to do things that we've been wanting to do, but we haven't done it. Those watching by the internet today, well, because of COVID, we stepped it up. And we did everything we can to get the church beyond the walls, which God always wanted. To get the church beyond the walls, because you are the church beyond these walls. And it's really up to you and I to be the salt and light that God so called us to be. You see, you're like a flashlight with the love of God, and you need to shine wherever you are. And it doesn't make a difference where you are, you just need to shine. Now, if you have a flashlight and it doesn't work, what do you do with it? Two things. You either fix it, or you what? You chuck it. How many of you, though, have a flashlight in your drive home that you probably say it doesn't work? Come on, raise your hand, huh? Huh? Yeah, I knew there'd be hands. But see, that's not what God wants us to do. So even though 2020 was a challenge, even though that there are so many things that take place. And we don't know the source of it. And we don't know a lot of things about it. But I will tell you this, saints. I will tell you this. God knew all about it. Everything that transpires, God knows all about. And I'm going to tell you something even more. I believe God is trying to work with his church, with his people, for such a time as this. I believe there's something more, greater, and bigger taking place than we even know. Our job, and my exhortation to you today, is you have another year. What is going to be your focus? Are you going to focus on all of the hurt, harm, pain, difficulties, all those things there that drain you? And really hinder you from becoming what God wants you to be? Or are you going to take the stumbling stone and make it into your stepping stone? Because a new year truly is more than just a new year for me. It's really readjusting the focus, readjusting the attitude, readjusting the aim. And so that's what I want to do in the next 2 weeks. I want to just do just that. I don't know about you, but 365 days in a normal year, and the only difference between one person than another is what that person does with the 365 days. We all have the same amount of time. Time is equal across the board. It's not how many days you have, it's what you do with the days you get. And sometimes you can complain so much about the days or the years or the past that have gone by, and you miss the very present today. So this is the day the Lord has made. What does it say? I will what?
Rejoice.
I will rejoice. What? You don't know how bad today is, Pastor. Yeah, I know. I get it. I've had those days too. It's a choice to rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. I will. It's a choice of the will. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's hard for me to see something good. Yeah, I know. Let God have it and watch what God can do with it in the process of time. God works within time. You see, you'll never win if you never begin. You'll never win if you don't begin. So what is it that you're going to be focused on this year? What is your focus? What is your main focus? Who should be your main focus? Why should it be your focus? Now, I want to look at five views, kind of like before I get into the message, five views here. And I want you to understand that these five views are views that people have when it comes to the focus of Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you're watching by the internet, and maybe you fall into this category where you say, I don't believe in God. I just don't believe in God. If someone asks me, do you believe in God? I say no. And that's okay. And I want to say, if you don't believe in God and you're watching this, it's okay. Because God gave all of us a choice to whether believe or not believe. And we love you whether you believe or don't believe. I love people whether they believe in God or don't believe in God. It doesn't make a difference. Because God told us to love. However, for those that don't believe, before you churn and change it and click it out, hold on. Before, I'm going to let me say this. Before you leave, if you leave, don't leave. God does say this in Romans chapter 1. Listen to this. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power. Hey, I don't have my clicker. John, you got my clicker? Never mind. The sound people stole my clicker. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You have to realize this portion of scripture. God says, everything that I've created shows that there's design. Now, here's the funny thing about it. When you saw a house, do you say, that just happened? You're wearing a watch. Oh, can't believe it. Just jumped on my wrist. You're driving down the car and say, that just happened. Why is it we have a understanding of every created thing on the face of the earth, but when it comes down to us, we want to say that we just happened? We don't say that about anything else, do we? But let me say one more scripture. For those that don't believe in God, this is what God says. This is may be offensive to you, but this is what God's saying, and I want you to hear this. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I know that hurts. I know these things. Wow, but you know what? That's what God said, because one day we're going to meet God. Whether you believe him or not, it doesn't make a difference what we believe. It's what truth is. God has shown us his creation all around us. You yourself is an incredible creation that has so many systems and a body that heals, a person that can think, can love, can hate, can rationalize. It's amazing how we are so complex because we've been created. Now, there's another view here, and that view is you don't believe in God, but if you honestly said, do you think he exists? You say, yeah, I think there's a God, but I can't know him. So that's the agnostic. And there's people who say, I believe there's a God, but you know what? With everything I see, I don't think he really, really wants to be known. He's sort of out there. I want you to understand something, that he wants you to know him, but you have to seek him. You have to ask of him. If you want to know someone, the first thing you go up to them and say, hi, I'm Pastor Brian. Yeah, that's an introduction. You do something when you don't know someone. Have you ever gone up to someone you didn't know and shook their hands or say hello and tell you who your name is? The introduction. My question is, have you introduced yourself to Jesus? If you want to know him, he's there. So that can't be an excuse. Number three, the third view is, well, I believe that Jesus was a good teacher. I think he was a prophet. He may be the Son of God. You see, so once again, it kind of like along the line is you're more believing that, yeah, Jesus was something special. Sometimes some people say, well, he was just a teacher of God, or he was a prophet of God. And some people say, well, he's God. I want you to understand something. You have to make up a decision. Who is he? Is he the Son of God? Is he God or is he not? That's up to you. Second, I want to say in the fourth view is this, and this is an important one. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that the fulfillment of prophecy, and are you following him? This is the thing with where we are today. There are so many people who believe, oh, Jesus is who he said he is, but they're not following God. It's a knowledge of God without an application of his word to their life. Let me tell you something. Having a knowledge of something without doing anything with it is like having no knowledge. So there's a view out there, while they live life, is they acknowledge that there's a supreme being. They acknowledge there is a God, but they're not, and they acknowledge Jesus Christ died for their sins, but they're not in commitment with God. And they're kind of like religious. And religious is really the worst place to be in, because religion doesn't save anybody. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ, you see? So that's that view. And the fifth view is a person who are following Jesus Christ and they're all in. They're all in. They're just all in. They recognize God's book. The Bible is God's book. It's God's words, and it's for God's people. You know, I tell people all the time, whenever I'm with someone in a restaurant or something, we start sharing, and I'll ask them all the time, do you have a Bible? Most time they say no, and I'm sending a Bible to someone in New York, is it? New York? Connecticut. Met someone from Connecticut, so sending her a Bible and her daughter a Bible. Had a great conversation, great everything. It was a wonderful experience. And if you're watching, your Bibles are on the way this week. So some people don't have it, and if they don't have it, we provide them for it. But most people say, yeah, I have a Bible, and I'll ask them, do you read it? And they'll go, oh, well, no. The other person that we talked to that same day, they had a Bible, but they said, well, we don't really read. I don't really read. I got away from it. And I said, well, if you want to know the author, I've said this all my life. If you want to know the author, come on, you must hear it. You want to know, you have what? Read the book. I almost want to break out with a Barney 5 accent. Read the book, Barney. If you want to know the author, read the book. That's the reason why we're not growing in our understanding and not keeping the focus, is because if you don't know the author, you're not going to know the directions for your life. I was doing some study on promises of God, because the Bible is full of prophecy, full of life instruction, full of promises. And it was a man named Everett R. Storms, and he did a study for a year and a half on all of the promises of God. I know there's a whole dilemma about promises of God, but I don't make it complicated. I think it's very simple. And all the promises in the Bible, this is how many he found, 8,810 promises. And then he said, out of that 8,810 promises, 7,487 of them are promises that God made to all humanity. And when I look at Galatians 3:14, it says, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That means there is a transfer, the same God, the same people, we're all one loaf. Someone say, You see, the same God who's working in individuals is working even in you. You have been engrafted in if you are a Gentile. And let me tell you something. God is still working with the Jewish people. He's no way done yet. I want you to understand something. You and I need to know that God is full of promises. And I want to give you one promise before we get into the message. This is just, look at Jamie and say, he's just in the foundation. Look at this promise. I love this promise that is found in John 15, verses 9 to 15. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. That's a promise. Now remain in my love. If you obey my command, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. I love this part. I love this part. When the Lord himself calls you his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servant, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known unto you. What a promise. What a beautiful promise of relationship. And as we endeavor in these two parts, this week and next week, as we endeavor about keeping the right focus on a new year, no matter what may come, or a year after that, or whatever may come, your focus is locked in. You are not going to fall to pieces when things happen. Amen? Yeah. I should have hit a big amen. I'm not going to fall to pieces when things happen. Yeah. Yes. I don't know what it is that sometimes we as God's people, when things start to happen and they don't happen the way we just fall to pieces. We just fall to pieces and we're like, whoa, is he not the God of the good times and bad times? Does he not reign and rule no matter what? Listen, I'm going to share something. When I was going through a really dark night during 2020, it was a dark, difficult, heavy, it was a damn dreary dark night. And it was like 4 or 5 days that was just probably one of the hardest moments of my life. And there was so much things going on. It was from hitting from every end. And I had a moment where I finally said, you know what, God? You're in control. You know what, God? Why am I carrying everything when it's all yours? And I went into prayer and had an incredible moment. And that was a real transfer. And I thought I was out of it, but I didn't realize the real challenge was after I got out of it. You see? And I said, Lord, thank you for not bringing the lump challenge to me when I was over in this court over here. You see, I was down looking underneath the barrels and saying, made in China, you know. And I thank the Lord that he gave me a moment, an incredible moment, picked me up in my quiet time and got me ready for even another blow. But this time, I was strong. This time, I had been renewed. I had been transformed. I have finally let it go and just said, I am not carrying something I do not need to carry. So I brought a couple things with me today. And some of you, I want to make sure that you're not like eating lunches. So I brought my binoculars today to get focused on each and one of you. Uh-huh. Oh. Go with the 100, not the 20. Yeah, uh-huh. When I go hunting, when I use my binoculars to zone in and to focus on just one spot. Not everything around me, just what I want to see. And we sometimes have to take the binoculars of life, Jesus, and ask God for help so that we focus just on him. Because we can get so distracted by all of the stuff. Someone say stuff. You know, a camera, when I take pictures with my camera, I focus on the object. And I want that object to be clear. The clearer the object, the clearer understanding I have. And the clearer the picture. So when I focus and I take the zoom and I zoom in and everything is clear, when I click it, I look at the picture and it's so clear I can see everything that is in the picture because I focused. I don't know about you, but this is the magnifying glass. And how many of you used to burn ants? Come on, let me see you crying out there. Look at them. Look at them. I only did one, just one. And I think two, but no more than that. But a magnifying glass is another tool that causes things to be bigger, but we focus on something. And when you're using the sunlight, you have to use it, and you get that really thin beam of light coming through there, and all of a sudden you start to turn the paper on fire. How many of you, when you're small, you just want to set things on fire? You know what I mean? I'm the only one. Oh, I'm guilty. I did. I used to love setting leaves on fire, and I was like, what else can we burn? But this brings a focus, and it focuses all its light to one spot. I want you to understand we're about to go. We're going to go about into the life of Paul the Apostle, and Paul the Apostle had a transformation. He had a transformation on the road to Damascus, and because of this transformation, he's now saying that all of his past, all of who he is, what he did, his position, his status, his wealth, all the stuff that he had was no longer important. He lived his life now in a whole different way where he had of the audience of one. If you're around me long enough, you'll hear me say, listen, we live for the audience of one. Listen, we live for the audience of one. Because when we can live this way for the audience of one, then everything else will take care of itself. It's a process. So let's take a little journey and let's talk about living life with the right focus. Coming from Philippians chapter 3, one of my favorite books, let's look at verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic, I love this part, for as legalistic righteous, I'm faultless. I want you to understand something. Paul, when it came to the law, he was perfect. I mean, he really followed the law to the T, dotted the I's. When he says this, the last part, for legalistic righteousness, faultless. He was saying he was all in with God. Now, I want you to understand something. Paul's trying to make a point. At the time, there are people who are putting focus on the flesh, and even some of them are mutilating their flesh to get the attraction of other gods. And I want you to understand, he's saying, you know, my past is nothing. I don't boast in it. Matter of fact, he's going to use a word a little bit and what he thought about his past. Everybody's trying to use their reputation. You know, they want other people to like them. They want, you know, to do the right things. They want to be popular. They want to be liked. And, you know, but Paul the Apostle, he didn't have that attitude. He wasn't out to be liked. He really wasn't. He had a mission. When he got an encounter with God on the road to Damascus, he changed. And he had a love for one, his God. I want you to understand that when we go into a new year or have a new day, we have to make sure God's our first love. Someone say first love. First love. You see, whenever we have a love, but we have love for something else other than God, we have idolatry. And idolatry is putting something before God. God has to be the first love. And that's the first step we have to do in entering into a new area of our life or entering into a new day. It doesn't make a difference. You have to choose. God, you're going to be my first love. So he's looking at his past and he's saying, you know what? My past is not where it's at. It's all found in Jesus Christ. Now, look what he says. This is where I want to focus on. Look what he says in verses 7 and 9. But whatever was for my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He goes on to say, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ, that and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteous that comes from God and is by faith. I want you to understand, this is what he says. He says, whatever it was to my profit in my past, I count it loss. Reputation, wealth, prestige, all of that stuff was no longer an interest to Paul the Apostle because he had met Jesus. When you met Jesus, how different was your life? When you met Jesus, how did you see life? When you met Jesus, what difference did it make? Can I just encourage you to still be excited about this transformation moment that you had years ago? Can you just still reflect upon that moment where all of a sudden you were illuminated to God's love, God's mercy, God's grace? You were illuminated to how much He really loved you. You were illuminated to His plan, His purpose for your life. You see, if we can get that and really understand that, it'll change us. It really will change us, and we have to stay there. And that's what we have to do, because, see, Paul the Apostle is saying, you know what? Jesus Christ is better than wealth. We have a world today that where everybody's trying to get all they can, put it in the can, sit on the can, and say, look all I have in my can. But the reality is, wealth, it doesn't make you happy. Now, you can use it, and I tell you all the time, God made me a wealthy, wealthy man. I guess what? I have a lot of opportunity to do a lot of good with the wealth. Because wealth is a tool, not for ourselves, but to the glory of God. That's what wealth is. Wealth is to pass it on. And if you have that attitude, God will bring increase to your heart and life. And my life is attributed to that. Christ is better than wealth. Christ is better than family name. Christ is better than social position. Christ is better than social popularity. How about Facebook? Everybody's always putting their best on Facebook. You ever notice? No one ever puts a sad picture on Facebook. No one ever puts a picture on Facebook that's a bad day with hair in it. Their hair's all way, glasses all crooked. You know, they look like a mess. Having a great day today. Everybody always puts their best, you know. They're on vacation. They pick the best picture to tell everybody how much fun it was. But if you really ask them, it was miserable. It was the most miserable time of my life. I couldn't wait to get home. But sometimes people always want the popularity, you know, in social. Look at this portion of scripture here found in Psalms 19. Let me show you something. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is a servant warned. In keeping them, there is a great reward. You find often in Scripture where the psalmist and God telling us how beautiful the word is and the relationship with God. The psalmist says here, David, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. This is all through the scripture of people having an encounter with God. The problem is most Christians that don't have this thing, they're not spending time with God. And if you're not spending time with God, you're going to have a humdrum life. Someone say humdrum. You know, it's the bottom line. What makes life full of vigor and full of strength is spending that time in relationship with God, where all of a sudden there's something that God's putting in the house, and all of a sudden you say, but God, when you look around, you're like, it's not looking good, not looking good at all. But God says, that's okay, me and you, we're going to do this thing. Yes, we are. You see? But what happens is we look at our lives, we compare our lives, we do all this stuff, and we're missing that time with God. Just fall in love with Jesus. Paul the Apostle was all about falling in love with Jesus and being obedient to the call that God gave upon him. He was all in. And this is where he's talking about this, when he kind of gives some description. How about this song? You might know this song. I'm going to start it and see if you know it, okay? It's called More Precious Than Silver. We used to sing this song, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. I'm supposed to sing it, don't I? Okay. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Okay. And nothing I desire compares with. Oh, you did great. That was good. That was a good you. Now listen. We sing these songs because, see, this is songs of love and affection to God. But the thing is, if we're not doing it on a daily basis, we're not going to be filled with the Spirit and the presence of God. We're not going to be able to hear when God wants to lead us, when God wants to do something, when God wants to change things. Because, see, in our mind, we have it all planned. Boy, do I know that. Have you ever had it all planned? God, well, this is what we'll do, God. God, this is what we're going to do. And we tell God what we're going to do. And then he says, no, that's not going to happen. And then this happens. You go, oh, okay, God, this is what we're doing. I'll tell you what, I have never been disappointed when I have done it God's way. The Apostle Paul is talking about everything of his past is rubbish. Now, if you go to the Greek, you'll see the word translated as dung. It's associated with dog manure, which stinks. Now, let me tell you something. Think of this. Paul is given a description of what he feels his past life. And Paul had a good life. Paul had a good past. Now, you and I, we could say, well, my past, this is the problems I had. I didn't have this. I didn't have this. I had struggles here. And maybe your past is not good. It doesn't make a difference. God changes the past. And when he comes in, he changes your future. Paul had a good past, but he says, you know what? I count that all as rubbish. I count that all as dung. I count that all as manure. That's pretty strong words that he's communicating right there. Why is that? Why is it? Because he found something better. You see, he wasn't basing his life no longer on the temporal things. He was basing his life and everything he did on the eternal things. Now, many years ago, I used an illustration, and we used a party streamer. How many know what I'm talking about? Party streamers, you know, the little paper. But today, we're going to use something a little different, and we're going to use this only because Francis Chan did the same illustration, and I thought, I like a rope better, a party streamer. I think a rope works. But this is your life. This is it. This is your life. And everything that happens here affects everything here. And this is eternity. Eternity. Eternity for a long time. But you know what? We live like today is everything. And what happens so often, instead of living life to the fullest, sometimes most people in today, we wait. We say, you know what? I'm going to really live really great when I get right back here. This is called retirement. When I get here, man, I'm really going to live. I'm going to eat good and travel and do whatever I want. Oh, I wait for this. I can't wait to get here. And we miss it because this is life. And God wants to do something wonderful in your life right now. But everybody's like, I can't wait. When this happens, things will be different. I say hogwash. Things are supposed to be different right now because every day, every season, given unto the Lord, it can be fantastic because God's in charge of it. God's in charge of it. So often, though, we focus so much on this little thing. You remember our tube film, the dash? Yeah, it's so small. Our life is so small. Everything we do here makes all the difference that's going to happen in our eternity. Everything. And we focus all our life on this. This is it. Paul the Apostle said, no, all that stuff in my past, it's rubbish. I now living for something greater. Everything I do, my whole life, what, how I think, what I do, where I put my finances, where I put my energy, where I put my talents, it's all for God and the work of God. I have a relationship with God, and I'm going to live for God because one day, right here, at the end of your life, you meet Jesus. You meet Jesus. And everybody's going to meet Jesus. And one day, how many funerals have you been to? Quite a few, eh? I've done way too many funerals in a lifetime. But you know what? Every time I go to a funeral, I'm always reminded someone's going to do mine. I'm always reminded that when my time is over, how much is going to be done? And is it going to be more said or more done? What's my focus? Paul the Apostle says, I consider it rubbish. All of the things of my past no longer interest of me. And he's going to then give you a great description a little bit later. I don't know about you, but I want you to understand that this life that we have is a gift. It's a gift. That's why God calls it the present. It's a gift. And you go into a next year, no matter what happens around us, you got to live your life with faith. You got to live your life knowing God's in control. Nothing, absolutely nothing shocks God. We would say, oh, can't believe that happened. But not God. See, that's the relationship that we have with God. I'm reminded of the portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 13, 45. It says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great, great price, he goes and sells everything he has to get that one pearl. That's what Paul the Apostle did. He was so sold out. What we need today, saints, listen to me. This is a prelude to the real message next week. But what we really need, family, friends, is we need to really get our lives focused on Jesus. Not focus on work. That's something we do. God's focus on wanting you to be, not do. You're being this. This is who I am, the who aspect. We need to stop focusing and put on all our aspect about us. I want a happy life. It's all about me. No, it's not. It's really about Jesus and it's about others. And unfortunately, to tell you this, you're last. If you want to do this thing right, you're last. Go ahead, say it. I'm last. Go ahead, say it. Because we don't like it. We don't like it when we put me last. Why do I have to be last? I'm always last. Can you hear anybody saying that? But that's what Paul the Apostle was not thinking of himself. He was, his whole life of his past was now rubbish because he had found something greater. He has found a great pearl. And it's a lesson that the treasures of this world is nothing compared to the glory of God. Even Moses understood this in Hebrews 8:11-26. Moses describes turning back from the treasures of Egypt in order to follow God. You know, Moses could have had an easy life. And sometimes if I said, do you want to have a life for God that can be difficult, or do you want an easy life? I'm going to tell you right now, I've talked to a few people. They'll tell me I'd rather have an easy life. But that's not me. In all reality, I want to be the best light and salt I can possibly be. I'm certainly not where I should be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. And you know what? We always need to strive and drive to be the best we can. And that focus in more of our focus on the eternity that we're going to have versus focusing on this little part of life that that's all we see. And if we focus here, we get depressed. Trust me. You get depressed because that's all you're focusing on is your life. And not focusing on the bigger picture. Your life is in Christ, the one who loved you and died for you. That's the beauty of it all. This year, I want you to really take this year differently. Now, we say that every year. Don't get me wrong. People make resolutions all the time. I'm not against resolutions. My problem I have with resolutions is that people put them down and say, this is what I'm going to do, but they never really put a game plan to it. They never really do anything with it to keep themselves accountable. This year, who is going to be at the center of your life? Who is really going to be the one that you pay attention to? One, you give your heart to. Two, you give your time to. Three, you give your finance to. Four, you give everything of your whole being to because you're concerned about God and concerned about people. Love God with all a heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Don't only think on your own interests, but the interests of others. Esteem others higher than yourself. This is the real joy of life and living in God. Paul didn't have a good life. He had it rough. But God always brought people along his side when he needed it. People always did what needed to be done, and the word of God always went forth. And then he could finally say in Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Now there is a crown prepared for me and for all those who follow that walk according to the Lord. You see, this is the question for you. Are you going to keep the focus Jesus even when it gets tough? Are you going to keep the focus of Jesus is your everything by the way you spend your life? Not just in knowledge. Listen to this. Verse 10. This is his heart. We're going to really build next week. This is what gets me excited. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Let's just take this one part just a little bit today. I want to know Christ. I want you to think about this. I want to know Christ because that was his desire. That's what he really wanted. He wanted to know Christ in such a deep, meaningful way that when he walked, God would be talking. You see? When he was doing, God would be leading. You see? And we all want that type of relationship so that whenever we do something or make a decision, we want to be able to hear what God's saying. But let me ask you a question. That how much time you spend just in his presence, in prayer, in fasting? We're going to be creating fast nights. Now, whether you do it or not, it's going to be up to you, but we're going to create fast nights. Because if you really want to know God, then you'll do something different. Because fasting brings you into a spiritual realm. Fasting will change you. Fasting will all of a sudden cause you to deny yourself. And we don't want to deny ourselves anything. I want those Oreo cookies. You don't want them until you finally say you're fasting. You know? I could go almost all day sometimes and not eat sometimes and not even be hungry. But as soon as I say, I'm going to today we're fasting, Lord, I don't know what happens to my body, but I go through all of a sudden, I feel like everything I see, I want. And then that's the time, hey, would you like to go out to eat? But I'm going to tell you something. Do you want to know God? Because if you really want to know God, stop giving you an excuse. Stop focusing on all your problems. Stop focusing on your misery, all the stuff that you just want to go baha boo-hoo about. Stop doing that and stop focusing on the Word of God and who your God is and what God wants to do in your life. Let the confidence that you have in Jesus Christ rise up. Be confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you shall perform it. Until when? Till the day of Jesus Christ. That means he started, works, and finish it. How many times you heard that? Because you need to get it in your soul that when you have a problem and the winds are blowing and the water's in the boat, God is right there. Stop looking at the winds. Stop looking at the pressure. Go with the Apostle Paul's focus. His focus was simply to live, to know, and to be the hands and feet and heart of Christ. He had a message that was solid and singular all his life. It was all about the gospel. We should be no different, because each one of us has had a Damascus experience. Each one of us has had an encounter with God. And some of you have had more encounters with God. You've got to see miraculous things from God's hands, from God working in your life. That is something we must not forget. That is the fuel for the fire. That is when God can do the best work in us and through us and around us. So as we start a journey, maybe a short one that ends up to be a long one, 2 weeks of learning our focus, learning how to focus, learning what to do in the process of focusing, even against the winds, pressures of life, let's really make a commitment that we're not going to be like a barometer. A barometer is something that measures the atmosphere and reacts to the atmosphere. But we have to be a set thermometer, set at the degree of Jesus. And therefore, we can have the joy of the Lord no matter what we face, because our God is our Lord, and his word is sweeter than honey and better than life. Let's pray. Our Father, you are our rock. You are our fortress. In you, we put our trust. And we recognize, Lord, that we live in a world that has trials and tribulations. And Lord, we recognize that you told us to do not fear, because you've overcome the world. And now, Lord, will you help us to really get close to you? Will you help us, Lord, to stop thinking about accolades, position, status, wealth, and the things that this world so bombards us with on every area of life? And Lord, may we truly get your heart as we love, as we serve, and as we walk on the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, will you help us? As eyes are closed, people are praying. Maybe you're watching by internet, and first of all, you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the first place to start. And maybe if you're here and Jesus is not your Savior, that's the first place to start. to simply say, I have sinned. I have done what I wanted to do. I have done some things wrong, God, according to your word. And I am sorry. Forgive me. That's the word. God, forgive me for my sin. And that's a prayer that God, forgive me of my sin and come into my life. I yield myself to you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And on the third day, you rose again. And make that your prayer. Just simply ask him to forgive you. Invite him into your heart. Invite him to be your savior of your life. And now the next step is simply the one that's biggie, is you follow him and you get to know his word by reading the scriptures. Stop praying. Find a good Bible church and start growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what God wants. Father, I ask right now that you would help us all know who you are and all that you want to do. Father, we so desperately want to focus on you, to know you deeper. So Lord, help us not to be so busy in doing, but Lord, help us to be focused on being, so that we are the best reflector of your love, mercy, and grace to every person that comes into our path, that we may present them with the hope that is within us. God, I bless each one here, God. May you do a work. I bless each one by watching by internet. Will you strengthen them and help them to walk by faith and to learn of your ways, your word, your works. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Well, we thank you for joining us today. Let's continue to believe that God is going to do a work in all of our lives and in his church, despite our current circumstances. If you would like to support the ministry of Salem First Assembly, you can do so by mailing to 430 Route 45, Salem, New Jersey, 08079, or by visiting our website at salemfirstag.org. Please join us for service next Sunday at 10:30 a.m., or you can watch service every Sunday afternoon on Facebook at Salem First Assembly or YouTube at Salem First AG. You can also listen to the message every Tuesday on Podbean. Have a blessed rest of your day. Let's remember to be a blessing, and that life is living in faith every day.